Well, Kim, for my first question, what is Anubis Gate doing? And what do you guys currently have going on with the band right now at this moment?
Yeah, right now we are writing for the next album because we are always writing. You know, there's never a break in except when we are really recording. Except for that, there's not a break in the process of writing. So that's what we do right now, and we are preparing for a little bit of live gigging, which probably won't happen until next year because the phase of preparation is quite big with us because we're only four people in the band and we have a lot of stuff going on in the music, so we have to prepare the backing tracks and stuff like that. So and we are also gearing up for the re-release of our old albums featuring bonus tracks and stuff like that. So so that's what's happening with us right now.
Yeah, I noticed your older releases are really hard to find, and I was lucky and fortunate to be able to get those releases while they were out. And talk about the re-releases, and talk about what's going to be on these things, and give the fans some detail about what you have planned for these upcoming reissues of your back catalog.
Yeah. Well, for starters, they will not be physical reissues. I'm sorry about that, but I don't think the finances are right for that as the music business is right now. So they will be digital only, but apart from the music, there will be, this time, there will be digital booklets with a track-by-track guide from each member of the band, you know, the story of each song. There will be an introduction to the album, and all the lyrics will be there. So that in itself should make it pretty interesting. And on Purification, there will be four live tracks recorded from the A Perfect Forever tour. A Perfect Forever will have a couple of songs that didn't make the album. Andromeda Unchained will have, I think, three tracks that didn't make the album. One is really interesting. It's our version of Tragedy by the Bee Gees. So that's something we do to amuse ourselves a bit when we're in the studio. We record some cover versions of stuff, and the same for the Detached. There will be a couple of cover tunes as bonus tracks on that. So that's what the extra tracks are.
No, it's funny you mention that because I've noticed, being in radio, that all of your radio promos that we get, almost 90% of them, they come through digital means, meaning that they're digital promos of all these albums. And I've even noticed some labels putting out albums digital only and not even releasing it physically. And do you see this as a possible future for the music industry?
Well, I think there will always be a market, especially in the niches, you know, like jazz or, you know, prog metal and stuff like that. I think there is a market for vinyl records, there will also be a market for CDs. But things are definitely moving towards digital, and I must confess that in the last couple of years, I haven't really bought any CDs, you know, I've been buying everything on iTunes. It's just so convenient, and when I buy a CD, the first thing I do is I rip it down to my iPod anyway and listen to it from there. So CDs are becoming kind of, you know, pointless and a bit obsolete.
Now let's talk about your newest album, the self-titled Anubis Gate album. And in the past couple records, you have put out some concept albums with some pretty intricate storylines behind them. And my question for you is this new album a concept record or not?
Yeah, well, it's definitely not a concept album for us. You know, we decided against doing a concept album because we just did two, and, you know, The Detached, which was the album before, was like, you, for us, you know, the concept album of the millennium kind of You know, we put so much into that and into the stories. So, you know, what were we going to do next? A concert album about my dog or something? You know, so we really didn't want to do that. We went back to the format of just writing songs for the album, and that's great because when you do a concert album, you have to elbow a lot of good stuff because it doesn't fit in, and we didn't want to elbow so much good stuff this time. So we just wrote 10 songs for it, and maybe we changed our style a little bit. We changed our singer, of course, you know, so that always makes it sound a bit different. I think it's the most beautiful album we've ever done, actually. I don't know if you can call metal beautiful, but to me it's the most beautiful album we've ever done. It's kind of like, to me, Our Maiden Somewhere in Time. That's a really beautiful album.
Mm-hmm.
And to me this is like our Somewhere in Time album.
Now I want to go back to one of your previous releases, not you had a Detached, which was a concept record, but the one album that really struck me as a fan and an album that I really liked quite a bit was Andromeda Unchained. And talk a bit about that record, because there was a concept behind it, and it was one of my top 10 albums from that year, when the year that it came out. And still to this day, you know, when I go back and listen to it, I get into that album quite a bit. I really love it. And talk a bit about Andromeda Unchained, and talk about the concept behind it, and let the fans know what was behind the album.
Yeah, Andromeda Unchained was a kind of the start of the concept was that Jacob Hansen, who was our singer at that point, really loved old sci-fi movies. And there was this kind of sci-fi B-movie called The Killings at Outpost Zeta. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really bad movie, but really great, too. And we kind of went from that. The story of Andromeda Unchained is that in some distant future, man will have populated the galaxy of Andromeda. And there's a civil war going on, and the winning party of that civil war is actually able to control people's minds, and the last remnants of the resistance flees back to Earth because they think that will be a heavenly paradise, but actually the Earth is run down, and because all the resources have been used, so that was kind of a letdown for them too. And the last thing they do is to escape from Earth to find a new place to populate. So that's kind of the story behind it.
Now the next album, The Detached, was an album that you got a lot of recognition for, but it was also a concept album. And it was a pretty big record for you guys, probably the biggest one you put out. And what was the concept about for the album The Detached?
Yeah, The Detached was after Andromeda Unchained, we thought, okay, that was kind of okay, an okay concept album. But we really did want to, you know, be more thorough about it. So one of my friends who is a writer, we got him to write a story for us. And the concept of The Detached is that the detached are people who can move time, you know, like we move physical stuff, you know, move an object. They can move time. Of course, when they move more time, it's harder for them. So the kind of their purpose in life is to find their immortal until they choose to age. So what they do is they search through the eras to find the right era to die in. But, of course, our main character has troubles finding his era to die in. So, in the end, he even leaves the love of his life behind. That's kind of hard to explain, actually. That's let's say he's not particularly a hero, our main character.
Okay.
Kim, now you've changed singers in the band a few times, and obviously you guys are, I'm assuming, are writing for another record, you know, writing for another album, and, you know, go in depth a little bit. Have some of these songs been finished as far as the writing process goes? And if so, you know, what do these songs sound like in comparison to your other material? You know, the one thing I've noticed is that the band's become more progressive as they've gone on. And compare the upcoming stuff to the latest stuff.
It's a bit early to say because, you know, in the writing stage, we throw so much stuff away, actually. I mean, we throw whole albums away almost before we settle on what we're really going to work at. And at this point, we haven't gone through the selection process yet. So I don't know. It's shaping up to be a bit more acoustic right now, but that could change, of course. Maybe it's just because Jesper and I have only really been playing on our acoustic guitar for the last couple of months. So, you know, the way we write, you know, we don't write in the rehearsal room. We never do that. We write by sending each other little bits of ideas over the internet, and then let the others work on the ideas, and things will bounce from one person to another until it's a song. So the things will change greatly from now. It's really too early. I mean, in a year or so, I'll be able to say what direction it'll be going in.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, maybe it'll be a bit more complex than the last thing we did, than our self-titled album. I think a bit more complex and maybe with some more acoustic parts, but I'm not sure yet. It will be melodic, as always. I mean, Henrik is really coming in to his own as a writer now, as a writer of music for the band also. I mean, he wrote the majority of the vocal melodies. He always did that in a Newbie's Gate, and the majority of the lyrics. But now he's also really beginning to write some music stuff for us. So that's great, and that will give it another direction, of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, his writings have some slight jazz leanings, maybe because he's a conservatoire educated, as am I, actually. We both majored in jazz. so there will be a slight jazz leaning in some of it. And I mean, I know it sounds strange when you're talking metal, but, you know, think Voivod a bit. You know, there are definitely some parallels between some of Voivod's best stuff and there are some jazzy harmonies in there, in the guitar playing especially. I love Piggy's guitar playing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Now, Kim, when I looked up some of the things that you have done, I was really actually surprised because I saw that you have played on quite a few albums out there and worked with quite a few musicians, not just with Anubis Gate, but with other bands. And you've done this pretty much as a keyboard player. And, you know, what projects have you participated in? Maybe tell the fans a little bit. Tell the fans a little bit about some of the projects you've been involved in, some of the people you've worked with, and, you know, kind of talk a little bit about the things that you've done outside of the entire Anubis Gate thing.
Yeah. The last thing I did was I produced Lion King's solo album, which was really great. And I produced it together with Jacob Hansen. But, I mean, the most of the musical arranging and stuff like that, that was me. So that was really great, and Lance is just such a sweet guy, and I'm glad he chose me to produce his album. So it's a really great album. I don't know if you've heard it. It's called A Moment in Kairos.
I have not heard it.
Okay, yeah, you should. I think if you like Anubis Gate, I think you're going to like that too. It has some Anubis Gate leanings I'll say that again. I'm glad you are going to edit this. It has some Anubis Gate leanings, It's bound to have because I produce it, of course, and that I have my views on how things are going to sound. I also did keyboards for the last two Mercenary albums. I don't know if you know Mercenary, that's a Danish band. I did a couple of albums for a great German band called Fear My Thoughts. And Communic, I did keyboards for one of their albums too. I've done keyboards for Phonomic, I don't know if you've heard of them. That's another band on Nightmare Records. And I've both the first album and the last album, which is not out yet. So, you know, it's like I'm kind of the in-house keyboard player at Jacob Hansen's studio. If a band comes over and they don't have a keyboard player, but they want keyboards on the album, you know, Jacob will call me and say, hey, come over a couple of days and record. So I've done, quite a few, maybe 20 albums like that. I think that's about it. Maybe a bit fewer. I didn't count them.
So
that's great. It's great. It's great inspiration, actually, to be in the process of making music with another band. You know, and I often take some of the things that I like about the other bands in as inspiration for a new biscuit. You know, the song "A Telltale Eyes" would be a good example of that. You know. The band Mercenary, they had a couple of fast songs. I don't know if any of them actually made their album, but I thought, I still love old school thrash metal, you know, Testament and old Megadeth and the first Metallica albums and stuff like that. And I thought, let's do a really fast song, you know, with those duga 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 drums. And we did that, and we've never done that before, and it turned out pretty well, I think. So it's good for the band that I work with other bands too, and I also play in a lot of cover bands too, also to make money, but also because I love playing, and so I play a lot of other stuff than metal, which is great too for the band, because Anubis Gate always had we have a lot of pop leanings in us. You know, you could trace a lot of our stuff back to kind of the good pop music of the 80s, you know, Ultravox and Duran Duran and stuff like that. I mean, underneath it all, we all love a good pop tune.
Now, Kim, if I were to hop into your car with you and you pull out your iPod and I were to look at it, what would you have in your iPod? What are you listening to these days? You know, talk about maybe some of the bands and some of the musicians you're listening to right now.
I've got 4,000 songs on my iPod. You know, I have a very broad taste. You know, to me, the Beatles will always be the greatest band of all times. But the next song could be Kraftwerk. I don't know if you know that. You know, the German founders of the techno genre. And the next song could be Rammstein, and there could be some James Taylor in there, and some John Mayer, and some Mark Knopfler, and some Cynic, and then some Slayer. You know, my tastes are that wide.
Now, what musicians had the biggest impact on you as a musician?
I think primarily, if we talk metal, primarily Iron Maiden when I was young. I just loved anything they did, up to and including Seventh Son of a Seventh Son. And then they kind of lost it, I think. But to me, as a guitarist, Adrian Smith, I mean, he was always the greatest to me. He's just such a melodic player, and he's not... He doesn't have a need to show off. He always, you know, plays a melody when he does solos. So, and I try to do that too. I'm not really into those Malmsteen types, you know. It's impressive, but it's not pretty. It's not particularly musical to play that fast all the time, I think. So, so Iron Maiden, you know, was the main thing. Speaking of metal, when I was a bit younger, my parents used to listen a lot to Creedence Clearwater Revival, and I mean that was kind of the reason I picked up the guitar, because I loved John Fogerty's playing. You know, I wanted to play like him when I was 10 years. I wanted to be John Fogerty. So so that was very inspiring, and I discovered the Beatles when I was quite young too. And Angus Young of AC/DC, I always loved his playing. I loved them also, still do. I mean, they haven't changed much since they started, but it's really great rock music. So, and Jean-Michel Jarre, actually, you know, I'm a keyboard player too, and that's, my parents listened a lot to his music too, so that's what inspired me to take up the keyboard playing. So, Jean-Michel Jarre and Kraftwerk in particular.
Now you went away from the concept theme, or the theme of concept albums, for this past Anubis Gate record, and you plan on maybe writing a concept album for your next one, or is it going to be kind of like the self-titled, where really the songs aren't related at all?
I don't think we're going to do a concept album. I think we need to get the Detached, you know, out of our systems before we do another concept album. And, you know, making concept albums, it's really hard, you know, to make it interesting. I mean, I think even the audience kind of, you know, there will come a time when they kind of grow tired of it, you know. I mean, Pagan's Mind, they have done, you know, like 10 Syrian concert albums, and maybe it's just, to us, the Detached was a great, great, great artistic achievement. I think it was like our Sgt. Pepper album, you know, but I don't think you do that and then you move on. So I don't think the next album will be a concept album. We haven't really talked about it, and I mean, you actually have to talk about it before the writing starts, you know. Okay, we're going to do a concept album, and you got to get the story and stuff like that, so you can make the music fit with it. So, and we haven't done that, so I mean, it's already too late for us to make a concept album.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be like you know, the two first and the self-titled album, you know, a collection of songs.
You know, one of the things I thought was interesting is that you guys, you know, The Detached actually was nominated for some awards. And, you know, talk about getting the recognition of being nominated for some music awards with that album, and what that was like for you.
Well, that was great, because in our home country, people like the metal more extreme than we deliver. Let's just say it like that. You know, they go for the Cookie Monster vocals, and I have nothing against that. I mean, I'm not really I'm not really interested in that kind of music. But there are some great musicians in those genres, of course. And really, we're not that big in our own home country. It's more like Germany and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That we have our main audience in. So it was nice getting the recognition that in competition with all those other great bands that we could be recognized. That was good. And and Jacob and I won the Best Production Award, and that was great too, because we really are a great team, Jacob and I, when we produce albums. So that was good. I think it led to a lot of work as a session keyboard player also for me. So that was nice, and it was nice standing on the stage and doing the horns to the audience and saying, "Great, I want to thank my mother for giving birth to me." And we didn't do that, but it was a good feeling, finally some recognition in our home country, after four albums. So that was good.
Now, when Jacob, you know, when Jacob departed and wasn't in the band anymore, your bass player Henrik actually took over the vocals. And you know, had you guys searched for a singer, or was he the guy that you thought of that could take over and just be the singer for the band?
Yeah. What happened was actually when Torben was in the band after we made the album A Perfect Forever, Torben had to bow out because he lost his voice. Actually, he had a condition called reflux. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's, you know, the acid in your stomach will come up and touch your vocal cords, and you will lose your voice immediately. So he couldn't sing. So as a temporary solution, we knew Henrik. Henrik is an educated singer, so we knew Henrik could sing the stuff. So we went out and did the tour with him on vocals. So we also knew that from that he was a great live vocalist. But Henrik, he didn't really have an ambition to be the frontman in the band at that point. And then Jacob rang me up and said, "Hey, you know, I've produced your first two albums, and I really love your music. Can I join?" Because he had heard that Torben had left the band. And we said, "Yeah, sure," you know, because we knew Jacob from earlier also, because we're all old friends from our young days. So that was great. But then as Jacob became more successful as a producer after the Detached, he really didn't have the time for it. So we did actually have all of the new album recorded except the vocals. And Jacob just had to say, "Okay, you know, I'm sorry, guys. I really don't have time to be in the band anymore." And we were sort of, yeah, we understood because we knew how busy he was. So that was all very friendly. And in the matter of the next 14 days, Henrik had recorded all the vocals for the albums. And this time he did have an ambition to be the frontman. This time he wanted to be the frontman of the band, so that was great. So we knew that Henrik was a fantastic vocalist. And also he has, on the old albums, here and there, he does some lead singing. So apart from knowing that he was good live, we also knew that he was good on record. So we didn't look for other singers. It was, I mean, we took the decision within the hour of Jacob leaving us. We took the decision to have Henrik as the singer.
Well, it's great to be able to talk to you. And for my last question, do you have any last word to say to all the fans that will be listening to this interview?
Oh, that's a hard one. Any final words? Famous last words.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, give our music a listen. I think you're gonna like it. I mean, if you like melodic metal, you will love A New Brigade. Give it a try. And thanks for listening also, and sitting through my Danish English here.